Well, I think that we've got, such a great array of energies and topics of attention. Maybe I'll start with one that keys off of something I was just talking about, which is recognizing that certain modes of behavior, address, that recognizing kind of strains of misogynistic attitudes that if for many of us we were just raised to kind of work with, you know, it was just how someone was.
Exactly.
And trying to take a step back and say, no, we're not going to go any further in this conversation until we observe this dynamic you're creating. Mm-hmm. So this is a poem by a student, Leah Eckard. And the title is What It's Like to Be a Female for Those of You Who Aren't. Growing up, you wonder why you're told to act appropriate and be ladylike. You're told that your favorite color is pink and to go play dress up. You're taught to curtsy and sit with your legs crossed. You ask why, and you're told because you are a female. When you get older, the image of a flat stomach and small waist is your goal. Perfect hair, nails, body, and face. You wonder why the hell people watch you walk up and down the street, undressed by strangers' eyes. They look at you up from your head and down to your feet. But because you are a female, it's not a surprise. You're called a broad and a bitch, being disrespected. You want to disrespect back, but then you're told, be a lady and forget it. And I think that one of the things that the poet is doing is not just putting forward this really strong set of observations, but the language is also musical in turns. You hear these little moments where waist and face, you know, what we talk about is assonance, the repeated vowel sounds, or even like the, you know, bitch and disrespected, taking words that aren't being offered in a quote-unquote pretty way, but finding their beauty on the level of being words.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that always really excites me, especially when someone is working in a more political mode. It can be hard to remind yourself to create the space for the craft, what we would say.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. This is a poem that uses another poetic tool, what we would call anaphora or parallel structure, where you get a series of statements that kind of cumulatively really are looking at identity in an interesting way. It's by Yasmin Ghazal Ali, and the poem is called I Will Be a Lifesaver. I will be a lifesaver. I will be the love my patients will feel. I will be the scalpel cut of a heart. I will be the smell of human flesh. I will be the creator of the cure for all cancers. I will be the hand that holds the heart. I will be the pressure on the chest if a patient goes into cardiac arrest. I will be the pinch of a needle. I will be the stethoscope of the heart's whispers. I will be the reflex of the hammer. I will be the otoscope of whispers that have been told. I will be the ophthalmoscope for those who have walked away from hard times. I will be the beep of the heart monitor. I will be the time of death. I will be the tears of those who have lost a loved one. I will be the grief. I will be the late hours. I will be the ICU. I will be the ER and OR, but most importantly, I will be a lifesaver. So I really admire how the poem uses that anchoring anaphora, the repetition of the I will be, to then have lines of wildly different length, to have something like in the fourth stanza where it gets very centered on death and on grief, so kind of changing the pace of the attention, and then ultimately to surprise us by wrapping around and reiterating the title in the first line in a way that is informed by all we've heard cumulatively. I think that when poets claim these really staccato, tight rhythms, that kind of moves us even further towards the origin point of poetry as a spoken language, as a delivered language. I don't know if I'll get to hear this poet, but I'd love to read this poem. This is Anthony Simmons with a poem called Those Kids. Broke kids, parentless kids, no school kids, them on my mother kids, running from the police, breaking in people's houses, smacking random people, smoking and drinking, those kids, skipping school kids, childish kids, no home training kids, hood kids, scared to leave the hood kids, broke kids, parentless kids, no school kids, those kids. And I'd be remiss if I didn't point out, this is such a great, great collection as a whole, and part of that is just the way that the book pulls together, the cover art, the design is gorgeous. It's got this great title, Spitfire, and we have a poem called Spitfire by Julius Moyes. Mm-hmm. If someone tells you to spit fire, then give heat like a stove. You cannot divide your life if there is nothing to divide among. Stop asking for fools to be new when dogs cannot learn any new tricks. There's something about the energy of that poem. It's such an invitation. It makes you want to respond. It makes you want to keep the conversation going almost by spitting back a poem of your own. And I think that's what we see visited in what these poets have accomplished, and you know, the conversation that keeps going.
Thank you so much.
Sure.